Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome. Welcome one and all up here, down there, out there, all around. Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news this week, I'm so sorry. Because there is now a mountain of evidence that Russia has engaged in a series of brutal war crimes. So in response today, the United States announced new sanctions on Russian financial institutions and individuals. Good. I hope it makes a difference. But at this point, there's so many sanctions on Russia, we might run out of places to put them. We'll have to start sanctioning them in the multiverse. They're gonna have to block transactions with Russian banks that are in the dimension where Spider-Man is still Tobey Maguire. The latest package will, among other things, ban all new investment in Russia. Well, you got to. Otherwise, their soaring economy is an irresistible cash magnet. Before the war started, before the war started, I was ready to put all my money into their hot new ride-sharing app, Tuber. Yes, Tuber, you know their motto is potato. In addition, the administration has imposed what's known as full blocking sanctions on Russia's largest private bank, Alpha Bank, and its largest financial institution, Sberbank. That's Sberbank, and not, as I originally read it, Sperm Bank, which is the one bank where you want your assets frozen. The package. Sperm Bank. There you go. The package also includes sanctions on Vladimir Putin's adult children. He has acknowledged two daughters. And that's just what every child wants to hear. I love you, Daddy. I acknowledge you, too. Speaking of out-of-control billionaires, Tesla CEO and star of Douche Cassidy and the Crypto Kid, Elon Musk, after years of tweeting silly memes and bad takes, while at the same time constantly criticizing Twitter's business practices, this week, Musk bought a 9.2% stake in Twitter, making him the largest single shareholder. Wait a second. So if he doesn't like how a corporation operates, he just buys it? How much more evidence do we need that he's turning into a supervillain? What? Guac is extra? Then this Chipotle is now mine. Now, where do I get my free refill? Musk's investment immediately caused a spike in the company's stock price. In fact, Musk has already made $800 million on his Twitter investment. $800 million is the most money ever made off Twitter without selling pictures of your feet. By the way, I give great bunion. Maybe you like a little hammer toe? One of Musk's first tweets after his spending spree was a poll asking, do you want an edit button? Sure. I mean, I'd rather you cancel the accounts of all the Nazis, but an edit button would be nice. Twitter responded. Twitter responded, not surprisingly, with a tweet, we've been working on the edit feature since last year, adding, no, we didn't get the idea from a poll. Wink emoji. Okay, I believed you until the wink emoji. Wink emojis don't really lend credence to any statement. No one's gonna deposit money in a bank that says, we promise not to blow your life savings on cocaine and hookers. Wink. Another, cocaine and hookers. I'm against it. In other Musky news, recently Elon was in Berlin for the opening of his new Tesla Gigafactory, and afterwards, he decided to celebrate with a visit to the city's most notorious techno sex club called the Kit Kat Club. Okay, but give him a break. Give him a break. Break him off a piece of that hot sex club. Now, no one knows what Musk was wearing, but the Kit Kat Club's dress code includes leather, latex, lingerie, fancy dress, swimming gear, superhero outfits, or complete nudity. That is a daring mix. Nothing says sexy like a naked Batman wearing rubber gloves and a snorkel. Snorkel comes in handy. You're gonna want the snorkel. Or one of those nose clips. Those nose clips. The Kit Kat Club was just the first stop for what some are calling a sex club crawl. Pro tip, do not crawl through a sex club. That's not spilled beer. I'm saying don't do it. This is a handy tip.
Hey,
go ahead, crawl, do what you want. Musk's tour was cut short at the famously exclusive Berlin nightclub Berghain, prompting speculation that he had been denied entry. Oh, you're kidding. I don't care how exclusive Berghain may be, what club wouldn't want this on their dance floor? Ladies, that's also how he makes love. You like this, baby? You like this? I just bought 10% of Twitter. I can do this all night long. Richest man who's ever lived. Continuing with tonight's billionaire theme, there is news about Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, seen here unable to identify the pictures that contain stop signs. He was interviewed recently and had an interesting anecdote about how beloved he is at work.
Some of the folks who I work with at the company, they say this lovingly, but I think that they sometimes refer to my attention as the Eye of Sauron.
Yes. Sure. They're comparing you to the Dark Lord Sauron lovingly. The guys at the office adore me. They call me Evil Incarnate, El Diablo, Jared from Subway. Get this. Sometimes they even put a picture of my face on their dartboard, and whenever they use the bathroom, they call it leaving my mark.
Oh, my God.
He's gonna destroy democracy. In state government news, Tennessee has introduced a bill that would eliminate age requirements for marriage. This bill is being sponsored by a Republican representative and man whose porn name is his actual name. Tom Leatherwood. That's why you gotta use sunscreen. I don't care if you're shooting outside. If this bill goes into effect, Tennesseans of any age could be common law married, which is extra wild, considering that under current Tennessee law, it's already legal to get married as young as 17. Okay, that's way too young to get married. It's also too young to vote, rent a car, and too young to, and this is true, operate a deli slicer at a grocery store. Call me old-fashioned, but I say no matrimony till you slice bologna. And here,
you gotta slice that bologna.
Oh,
gotta
thin.
Slice it good.
Like come a thin,
slice
baby.
It. Slice it thin.
You gotta, you gotta do that. There you gotta go. But here's the kicker. Child marriage wasn't the purpose of this bill. The real goal was to establish common law marriages in the state as being between one man and one woman. Ah, don't you hate it when you're trying to write a homophobic bill and all people focus on how you accidentally legalized baby weddings? COVID's making a little comeback these days, and so is the COVID cray-cray, because right-wing activists have launched an amateur grand jury to vote on whether to indict Dr. Anthony Fauci. Okay, first, I want to point out all juries are amateur. It's tough to go pro on $23 a day. This amateur grand jury is a live-streamed event later this month that's being billed as the fair and balanced way to decide if Anthony Fauci should be indicted. Why? Quote, the people have spoken, and here's the proof, followed by just the words, video, evidence, documents. Oh, my God, all three court words? Fauci's in real trouble. Your Honor, lawyer, exhibit A, proof, evidence, document. All rise, case closed. If it please the court, may I approach the bailiff? You want to buy some weed? So, just saying, it's an amateur jury. What do they, are amateur arrest me? So who are these grand jurors? Why, it could be you. For as little as $25 and as much as $10,000 to be a VIP juror. It's perfect for anyone who's ever thought, I hate jury duty, but what if it costs 10 grand? Would I like it then? Now, there is one small thing. There is one small thing to keep in mind before you pay up and bring justice to Dr. Fauci for crimes of doing science. On its website, in fairly small font, they clarify that America's grand jury is a mock grand jury. It has no legal authority. Anti-vaxxers love it, but it doesn't do anything. It's the hydroxychloroquine of justice. But, turns out, doesn't do anything. Turns out it doesn't. But it's still worth the money because at the $2,500 juror level, you get one night access to mingle with anti-vaccine celebs in the grand jury's green room. Yes, all the hottest anti-vaccine celebs. We're talking about Uncle Bill, Sue the Borax Gal, Ivermectin Horse, and of course, Nicki Minaj's cousin's friends, Giant Balls.
Coming up, Mean One. Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
John, we got a national treasure on here tonight. Anderson Cooper is going to be here in just
Anderson
a little while.
Cooper. Yes.
Just a delightful fella.
Great.
And I just want to say how great the band sounds again. I mean, it's wonderful to have you back.
Yes.
Want to have Joe and Nega back. I also want to point out,
yes,
Lewis and the rest of the band sounded amazing, yes, while you guys were gone. We missed you, but man, you guys did an amazing job keeping this band hot, yes, while you were out of the East Coast area.
You killed the best in the world, really.
Have you won anything recently, John? Have you won anything? Anything since the Grammys? Anything since the Grammys?
No, not since Sunday.
Okay, well, yeah, gotta keep it up. Gotta keep it up, man.
Yeah,
gotta keep it
keep
up.
The role.
Well, we might all win something because it turns out, I just found this out, this is very exciting, that we're nominated for some Webbies, the Web Awards. Oh, yeah. The shows are the Webbies.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've already been honored.
Madeira.
We've already been honored by being honorable for the comedy podcast content series and music video series Webbies, but we're nominated for two Webby Awards that people get to vote on. We need your votes on this out there. One is interview/talk show podcast, which would be ours, The Late Show Pod Show.
That's right.
One. We're nominated for that. And social content series, which is The Late Show Me More, which is the behind-the-scenes video that we put out every week here. And just who's leading it now? Who's number one? Who are we up against in interview talk show podcast?
John
Stewart. John Stewart. Okay, listen. You know I love John Stewart.
John's great.
Okay, I love John. Obviously, it'd be great if he won, but even better if we did. And here's the thing. No hard feelings. No hard feelings if he wins, and no hard feelings, you know, if we win either. Yeah. There's no hard feelings here. And just the thing is, it's the Webbies.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the Friendies.
Exactly. Friendly competition.
Friendly competition. So anyway, go do that, please. And links to vote are pinned on our Twitter page at ColbertLateShow.com, and listen to the Late Show Pod Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Wherever you get them,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the phone or a deli. Yeah. Not sure where you get them. You know, folks, I spent a lot of time right over there isolating the biggest, newsiest stories of the day and containing them in the most topical circular tunnel with a circumference of 26.7 kilometers and a depth ranging from 50 to 175 meters. Then I add two adjacent parallel beam lines which travel in opposite directions around the ring, intersecting at four points. I add 1,232 dipole magnets to keep the beams in their circular path, while an additional 392 quadrupole magnets are used to keep the beams focused. Then I add stronger quadrupole magnets close to the intersection points in order to maximize the chances of interaction between the two beams cross. Also, I can smash joke protons against each other at near the speed of light to generate the Higgs boson heavy comedy particles that make up my nightly monologue. But sometimes, folks, sometimes.
Yeah!
Sometimes I wake up in an abandoned junkyard strapped to the chassis of what used to be a school bus. I gnaw myself free of my restraints and climb atop a hill of crushed Mazda Miatas to utter a call that can be heard only by those in the midst of a life-changing peyote trip. With my freaks gathered round me, hotwire as many burnt-out 91 Buick LeSabres as we can find to animate a fleet of Fury Road-worthy lemons, then roll them to the abandoned subway station below City Hall, where I launch them head-on at top speed in the unregulated Hot Wheels colossal crash track of news that is my segment.
Meanwhile.
One solid minute. That's a new record. Is that a new time record? Is that the longest of all time? That is. Thank you for your service, meanwhile. Meanwhile. Jared Leto, of all the actors to play the Joker, he is one of them. Well, now Leto is starring in a new comic book movie, Morbius. But turns out that Leto insisted on using the character's crutches even when the cameras weren't rolling, and his method acting became a problem on set. Even more problematic, he was still method acting from his role in House of Gucci.
Hello, I'm a Morbius. I'm a very scary vampire. Aboo, I'm gonna suck you blood. That's a spicy jugular vein. Why? Away, you gotta.
Meanwhile, in litter news, volunteers picked up a record amount of trash from New Jersey's beaches last year, totaling over 500,000 items, including a CD holder filled with albums by Limp Bizkit. Well, you know what they say, one man's trash is a CD holder filled with albums by Limp Bizkit. Volunteers also found a full set of dentures, a thong, and a fake eyeball, obviously left behind by the toothless, one-eyed Victoria's Secret model, Long Jane Silver. There were also some more run-of-the-mill trash items, like 3,211 tampon applicators, or as they're called locally, and this is apparently true, Jersey Beach Whistles. Okay, but don't blow on them. You know where they've been, a Jersey beach. Meanwhile, in an effort to make electric scooters safer for use in crowded cities, there's a new line of e-scooters that stop if you speed, made by a company called Super Pedestrian. also the name of the least popular Marvel character.
Coming up, Anderson Cooper.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
My guest tonight is a CNN anchor and a 60 Minutes correspondent. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Anderson Cooper, everybody. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
First of all, I just want to say I like casual Anderson.
Yeah,
we don't always get casual Anderson. I like it.
That's where I'm going for.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
But the decision about the collar, inside the sweater, outside the sweater. Where's that?
Originally, I was going to wear a white T-shirt under this, and I thought, you know what, for Steven, I'm going to go wear a collared shirt.
Yeah. Because you know I'm a traditionalist. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And I questioned whether I should have a tie or not, but I figured, you know what, we're still sort of in COVID. I mean, you can't expect everything.
That's an instant mask if you need it. That's what I like about the tie. Last time I spoke to you, you were in Ukraine.
Yes, yeah.
And we all see the terrible news coming from there. What is it like to, having been on location and seeing what's going on in a country under this monstrous invasion, and then to come back to the United States to sort of what you might call normal life.
Yeah.
For you and all the other journalists who have gone over there from CNN, what is that experience
like? It's always hard. I mean, the fact that you can be in one place where horrific things are happening and get on a plane and in a short amount of time be back here where life goes on as normal and you know, people are paying attention and people know about what's going on. But it's a very strange thing. You feel guilty about leaving a place where people are suffering, and then you
knowing that they can't leave.
Right, knowing they can't leave, and that you have this luxury of being able to drop in and then leave and come back to your family, and you know, my kids are provided for, and my friends aren't, you know, burying their parents in their backyards, and we're not at risk of having our buildings blown up at night, and you know, all of that is, it's a strange thing to kind of go between.
Well, let's talk about the heartbreaking images we're seeing out of Bucha this week.
Yeah.
And the clear war crimes being perpetrated by Putin's forces over there. Do you think that will actually make a difference in the international response? Have you heard any of that in your reporting?
I don't think it changes the facts on the ground in terms of what the U.S. level of support is. I mean, I obviously what is happening with the images that have come out of this town, Bucha, and things that are likely happening in other towns as well that Russia has occupied. It is horrific, and it certainly is evidence of war crimes, and there are already prosecutors on the ground in Ukraine looking into that and people gathering evidence and all the pictures we see on the news. All of that is potential evidence in an international war crimes trial. Which is, you know, very possible sometime probably in the very distant future. I mean, usually these things take a long time and there's no way to, you know, arrest Vladimir Putin as long as he stays in Russia. But I don't know that it changes the willingness of the U.S. to, you know, to provide different form of weaponry or to provide different kinds of support on the ground or European countries.
So we here in the United States and in Western Democratic Republics have access to that information. Right. From what you know of your contacts in Russia and the people that you've spoken to over in Ukraine, what are the Russian people getting? And how ironclad is this bubble?
They're in a bubble. I mean, they're you know, unless you have access to a VPN line and can get information that's not, you know, that's not accessible to ordinary Russians, your news is siloed in Russia. And there's a lot of support for Vladimir Putin. And there's a lot of people who, even if they knew what was going on in Ukraine, would be supportive of it in Russia because they support Putin and they believe of his portrayal of events on the ground there. I can't tell you how many Ukrainians I spoke to who have a parent in Russia, and they've called up their parent from a bomb shelter, you know, as their building is being destroyed, to say, you know, what, tell their parent what is happening. And the parent doesn't believe them because the parent watches Russian news and thinks, you know, what are you talking about? There's no reason you need to be in a bomb shelter. They're not attacking civilians. So it's extraordinary in this day and age how information can still be siloed. I mean, look, we have plenty of people in this country who believe the last election was stolen and that, you know, attacking the Capitol was totally legitimate. So, you know, misinformation is everywhere. But, you know, it's a... People have the access to information here if they wanted. They're just choosing not to believe it. There, people do not even have access.
What about the impact of the sanctions over in Russia? What we heard today, the administration announced even more economic sanctions against Russians, some individuals, some banking institutions.
Vladimir Putin's two acknowledged daughters.
Right, exactly. So do we have any sense of... They're trying to force, it seems, they're trying to force a default by Russia. Really, would it be absolute crushing. That would crush their economy for a decade. It's already in pretty bad shape. Russia's already the poorest European country.
Right.
Do we have any sense of, A, who that's mostly affecting, and B, whether that effect has any effect? Can the Russian people in any way manage up?
Yeah, look, I mean, they've imposed huge sanctions on Russia, inflation in Russia.
Unprecedented sanctions. And faster than ever.
Yes, absolutely true. And Europe is more unified, you know, with the United States. The NATO alliance is stronger than ever before, you know, in this as for now. But look, the sanctions, the inflation is going through the roof in Russia. I saw some estimates of it's gone up, you know, 2% each week, which is, you know, is pretty crushing. That being said, Russia makes about $1 billion a day from oil and gas sales, mostly to European nations. And the sanctions have not attacked those sales. And so as long as Russia is making $1 billion a day, that's what's funding the war. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy solution to fix. And
it's like saying I'm going to boycott this gas station by not buying the air freshener.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I'll still get the gas.
And look,
the
United States doesn't want energy prices to rise around the world because that will fuel inflation here. So the United States has, you know, reasons to not go after energy sales from Russia fully, and also to keep the European allies together. Many European countries receive a large amount of their oil and gas or even natural gas from Russia. And that's, you know, that's something that if you want to keep the alliance together, they're not able to give up so easily. And so that money is still flowing into Russia. So whatever the sanctions are, and they have certainly been very, very hurtful to the Russian economy, there's still a lot of money coming into Moscow.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, I will ask Anderson Cooper about life with his new son, Sebastian. Stick around.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
We're back with CNN's Anderson Cooper. Let's move on to a happier subject.
Okay,
a
sure.
Much happier subject.
Happy to.
Your new son, Sebastian.
Yes.
So yeah. Here's Sebastian. Son, Wyatt.
Yeah, so Sebastian's 8 weeks old tomorrow, and Wyatt is 2 years old at the end of April, April 27th.
How does Wyatt like being a big brother? Because that can be a rough transition.
It is, yeah. So that's been, I was really worried about this, because when I was growing up, when I came, my brother was 2 years and like 4 months older, and every childhood photo I have is I'm very happy as a little baby, and my brother's chewing the inside of his lip. Like, I love this photo because, look, we're both in the same, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, like, stroller. And I'm just, like, so fat and happy leaning against him. And he's like, get me the hell out of this thing with this Ugh, disgusting child. Mm. So with Wyatt, I've sort of gone a different tack, which I want to do a I'm doing a slow roll with Sebastian. So, like, I didn't want Wyatt's life to suddenly cataclysmically change.
Sure.
And like, there's this crying baby.
Sure.
So, they're kind of a, you know, Wyatt's not on top of him every day, like, why we go out a lot and stuff. And also, I've started doing this thing with Wyatt where we both sort of make fun of Sebastian. So we have this little thing. I mean, not in a bad way, but...
Give me an example.
Well, we both... So I started doing this thing when, like, Sebastian's crying. I'll look at, like, Wyatt will look at me, and I'll look at him and go like, I'm a baby. I'm crying.
That's a really good baby.
He likes it. And so now he does it, too. Like, we'll both look at each other as Sebastian's crying, and we'll both go like, I'm a baby. I'm crying. And for some reason, it seems...
You guys have a common enemy. That's what it is. You're going to stop this before the child understands English, right?
Of course, I'm going to stop it.
But you won't know. You won't necessarily know when he's getting it.
He's in on it. I mean, look, in the photo you showed, what's so sweet about it is now he's like, every day there's a little bit more advancement from him. So he'll come, he'll like hold Sebastian's hand while I'm feeding Sebastian. In this one, he like took the bottle and started feeding Sebastian himself. Though I will point out, no milk is actually going into my baby. He's just there for the photograph.
So
he's
like,
here
of
I am,
course.
Feeding this little baby, but I'm not actually
total
giving
poser,
him nourishment.
Total poser. Yeah. I have a, here's another photograph I want you to explain what this is. What's happening here? This is a happy little
photograph. So this is while I was away. Andy, on Andy's set, he had his son Ben and my son Wyatt, who are friends. Wyatt came over to see Ben at Andy's set, and they sat on the set. And what I love about this photo is it is so exactly like mini-me versions of Andy and I. If you look at, like, Ben is just smiling like he's the host, just like Andy, always happy and stirring.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, whenever I'm a guest on Andy's show, I'm staring at him, like, with some confusion and mystery, and, like...
What are you going to ask me next?
Why did I agree to be here? What am I doing here?
But yeah. They have fun together.
Yes.
They have fun.
And they got really drunk together, which is sad.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more Anderson Cooper, everybody.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
You're not busy enough.
You got
the Anderson Cooper 360.
We got CNN Plus now, so
but
you know, you got
to... Do you still have the 360 thing beforehand?
Sure. Every night, every weekday night.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you also have two CNN Plus shows.
I do.
Two. One's
two.
Not enough.
Yeah, no.
Parental Guidance.
It's double plus.
And Anderson Cooper Full Circle. That's
yes.
What I meant. That
was Full Circle is like an interview show with just folks who wouldn't necessarily be on an evening newscast, but just fun, interesting people to talk about, writers who have come on, and just interesting people.
Explain this to me, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What is CNN Plus? Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I see ads for it on CNN all the time.
Right. Yeah,
okay?
yeah.
But my understanding is that if I go to CNN Plus, that's not CNN.
No.
That's Plus.
It's a streaming service.
Right.
Yeah.
But Disney Plus is Disney.
Right. Plus.
No, there's Disney's on there, too. But if
right.
I go to
there's
CNN,
Disney's.
I don't get CNN. I get
Plus.
Yeah,
no, you get CNN. You get CNN people. You get me. You get Wolf Blitzer. You get Jake Tapper. You get Don Lemon. You get a whole bunch of other interesting
people. Can I watch CNN on CNN Plus?
You can watch other stuff from CNN.
Other than CNN.
Yeah, but I mean, there's newscast. Wolf has his own newscast, especially
Fantastic.
For CNN
That's
Plus.
All. That's all. See, you back out all up when
I got a parenting show called Parental Guidance. Where I do interviews with people about, you know, I don't know anything. I don't know how to be a parent. And
are you guiding or are they
no,
guiding
I'm
you?
No, I'm not guiding. Well, how would I be guiding? I'm
you
asking questions.
Children. You have two children.
Yes.
You know as much as anybody else
point. No, not I don't.
No, this
I'm,
is
I'm,
it.
I'm
there
ask-
is no other training than having a child. No, everyone can tell you what it's like to be a parent.
But no, but
it means nothing until you've
done
it.
Well, no, that's
it.
Totally
it's all
true.
Bull until you actually have a baby.
Right. No, that's true. That's totally true. Yes. And also...
True.
But see, I bought all these parenting books, and I never got around to reading So I decided I'll have a show where I'm forced to ask people, well, talk to smart people and learn about parenting as
I go. So the show is a cry for help, is what you're saying.
It's a desperate cry for help.
I have three children. Do you want to ask me anything?
I would like, yeah, I'm curious, what would you do, looking back now, because they're teenagers and they're all off in their own lives.
Yeah, they're adults, they're actually all in their 20s.
Looking back now, what would you have done differently early on?
Like, oh, I would not have had them. Huge mistake. Anderson, lovely, lovely to see you.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.